Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me for the first time Hamish Gregg, as well as Dr. Quentin Henning, who's been with us many times in the past. But this time he's not going to talk about Novo Resources or Irving, who two companies he's spoken about in the past, but he's going to help us understand a little bit more about Lion One and its fascinating gold exploration development project in the Fiji Islands. Lion One is a new sponsor to this show and a company that I have personally purchased shares in and have added it to my newsletter after I learned about this exciting exploration project taking place in that part of the world. The company, I think it's pronounced Tuvatu, project in the Fiji Islands, is certainly one I think you're going to want to keep your eyes on if you are an investor in this sector. Before I say hello to Hamish and Quentin, just should tell you that Lion One trades in Canada under the symbol LIO. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol LOMLF. 117.5 million shares out, or something about that number anyway. Earlier today, trading in U.S. money at $1.32, giving it a market cap of around $155 million. Well, thanks both of you for joining me today, Hamish and Quentin. I'd like to start out first with you, Hamish. This is your first time on the show, and you are sitting in for Walter Berkoff, who is the CEO and chairman of Lion One. It was his vision, but you've been with him, I think, for something like 10 years. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, Wally's got he's got a knack for putting together really interesting mining assets. He's done it a few times before. And we could count this as maybe the fourth venture that has gone forth into the public markets. The ones prior to this, Northern Orion, Miramar, and La Mancha, which had an aggregate acquisition price of about $3 billion. He's averaging about $1 billion per takeout in his history up to date.
Yes, he's had a very colorful, a very successful history, which, of course, is where we like to start, with people who are successful, that's for sure. Can you give our listeners a little bit more of a history of Lion One? It's located in the Fiji Islands, as I said. This project is a Tuvatu project. What was it that Wally saw there that attracted him? I mean, obviously, there's some other major projects in the area, but fill us in with what he accomplished to date in terms of the land acquisition and the progress on the project.
Well, yeah, Fiji, you mentioned it, it's a mining jurisdiction, not on everybody's radar, but the fact is it's got one of the oldest and biggest gold mines in the South Pacific. The Emperor Mine, or Vatukoula, has been in operations for over 80 years, and if that was discovered today, that would be considered a major discovery. They've produced over 7 million ounces there, and there's no indications that that system is constrained in any way. They're still mining it at 1,200 meters depth. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's what brought Walter to Fiji was the chance to own Vatukoula and all of its assets. So this is about 10 years ago, and in the development pipeline of the Emperor Mining Company was a deposit about 40 miles away from this giant deposit at Vatukoula called Tuvatu. Mm-hmm. And it had a feasibility study already done on it. This is at a time when Ivanhoe was Emperor's largest shareholder. So mm-hmm. It was available, and long story short, Walter purchased the assets of Emperor, but turned around and sold the operating mine, but kept Tuvatu. Because of the upside and because he looked at it as another chance to start a Vatukoula-sized project without 80 years of history behind it, a chance to build something new. So the last 10 years, the major things that have happened is to have got all the permitting finished. It's fully permitted for production. And most significantly this year, we consolidated the land position around the existing resource, which is something that no other company's ever done before, which gives us not only the Tuvatu resource, which is only a small piece of the overall Navalawa gold system, but an opportunity to explore that area and develop it on a regional basis. And so that's the exciting part, is that for the first time, this is the first time this project has ever been on a district scale explored for the first time. And there's been some notable companies through there in the past. So I'd say that's our chief accomplishment to date.
Wow. And just perhaps for those who aren't familiar with the story, what is your resource and what sort of grades? And you did an economic study. Could you give us a quick overview of those metrics?
Yeah, well, the relevance of the previous study is that it was done at $1,200 gold. There was a 52% IRR on the resource. So the mine, the part that was identified for mining, they looked at about 350,000 ounces to be produced over the first 6 years, with grades around 11 grams. But that was only talking about the Tuvatu resource, which is a small sliver of this overall system. Mm-hmm. And that only incorporates resources to about, I don't know, probably max depth of 350 meters, somewhere around that. So it's a very small mm-hmm. channel of the project that's been drilled to the point where it could be included in a resource estimate. And so now we've got over 7 kilometers of strike to put together into our exploration program, and that's the most exciting part. So it showed positive economics at $1,200 gold, but there's no indication, like Vatukoula, that the system is constrained at depth below the existing resource or laterally across 7 kilometers or 5 miles of the surrounding caldera.
Wow, amazing, amazing scale, I would say. Before we get to Quentin, I want to ask him about the geological prospects here that he sees and one of the reasons he got involved with the company. But, you know, you noted that you have permits to go into production. Is this something that you envision this company doing, or will you be exploring aggressively, or both?
Well, both. It's a bit of a dual-track strategy, and one of the things we've got is a government that is very pro-mining. The jurisdictionally, this is a this is part of the old British Empire, but Fiji has been pro-mining for many years, continues to be pro-mining. And so they are actually encouraging us to advance towards production. That's the general expectation. So it's a bit different than a lot of other places where this government actually is promoting foreign investment, and they see mining as a cornerstone of their growing economy.
Yeah, all right. Let's turn to Quentin. Quentin, how long have you been aware of this this prospect, the potential for this project? Yeah. I know that you've been scouring the globe for gold mining opportunities, and in many, many years you worked with Newmont in the past. But how long have you known of it, and what has attracted you to this Tuvatu project?
Yeah, let's put it this way. Tuvatu was on my short list. I'll give you a little history. I've been following the company really since they started. They kind of hived this off and started the company about roughly 10 years ago. I've been watching them, step by step, because the geology of this particular project intrigues me. I grew up in Colorado. Here in Colorado, we have a couple of very big alkaline gold camps. Mm-hmm. One is just next to my house here. It's not too far away. And then Cripple Creek, which is in southern Colorado, is a 29-million-ounce system. It's still producing. Newmont operates there. These alkaline systems, man, they're big. Anybody that knows me knows I like them. I drilled Spring Pole for Gold Canyon. We readily hit 5 million ounce resource there. And I look at these as they're scarce as hen's teeth. Okay, they're very unusual systems, but once you find them, they tend to deliver. They tend to produce. So, put it in perspective. There's a handful of these things around the planet. There's Cripple Creek here in Colorado. There's the Porgera deposit in New Guinea, mm-hmm. again, plus 20 million ounce. Let's see, there's, in the neighborhood of Tuvatu or Fiji, there's also, the Newcrest mine on the Heer Island, which is a very, very young, in fact, it's still forming alkaline gold system. But all of these things are plus 10 million ounces. Even the nearby Vatukoula mine, it has a resource in mined and reserves of over 10 million ounces. So, mm-hmm. When you find these things, you got to treat them very, very gently, very carefully. I'll give you a little background. Like Porgera, they started working there. I think Placer started drilling in 1976. It was something like, 1987 when they finally, the picture kind of congealed. It took them like 10 years of pretty intensive drilling. Well, uh-huh. Look at Tuvatu. I mean, that's where Wally is at right now. They've been working there for nearly 10 years. There was some work on the property by Emperor Mines prior to that. But really, it's starting to come together, starting to crystallize. So You know, because I've watched it and because I got to know Wally early last year, I decided to help. It's also an easy stop for me on the way down to Australia. In fact, I find it a joy because I can adjust to the time zone a little easier as I stop. You know, it's a system I know. It's a system I really like working with. You know, I talked to Wally about my vision, you know, as far as it being an alkaline gold system. It's a little different than many people view it. You know, they were thinking, oh, this is an epithermal deposit. It'll, you know, the grades will die out very quickly at depth, blah, blah, blah. It's not true. These things go down, you know, hundreds and hundreds of meters, probably go down a kilometer or two easily into the crust. You know, so the potential here is huge. You know, already, you know, like Hamish just said, the thing is, say, 350 meters vertical profile on average. And the system has a million ounces. So, you know, it's already got like 2,500 to 3,000 ounces per vertical meter, which is very robust for a deposit. You know, so it's easy to see that the system should carry on at depth. We can easily add ounces below the existing drilling. But now, you know, one of the key things we've done is we've, you know, through consolidating the property, we've been able to start exploring the bigger caldera system. And we did bleg work. You know, if anybody wants to, you know, get in details about bleg sampling, the stream sediment sampling, but we had a news release back in November about that. It just lights up. You know, you can see gold coming out of multiple drainages in this caldera, you know, comparable or better than coming off the Tuvatu drainage. So in my view, there's a lot of upside here. The system, you know, is roughly the same scale, same kind of scope as any of these very large alkaline systems. And I see no reason it shouldn't host a much, much larger gold system. You know, I'm hoping that we'll find something on the order of at least 10 million ounces.
As I understand it, the company is drilling four drill holes beneath the existing deposit.
Things evolve. That's where we started back in September when we kind of first announced we were going to, you know, undertake this program. I brought Wally to Cripple Creek, actually, and we went on a tour. I have some friends at Newmont who showed us the 3D model for the deposit and, you know, showed how extensive the veins go. And I think Wally was impressed by that, so he agreed to a four-hole commitment, you know, four deep holes. But look, the gold market's starting to pick up. Our share price has done well. We've just completed a raise about 6 or 7 weeks ago for $11.5 million. We now have a lot more horsepower, so we're looking at expanding that. I would say, you know, we'll be drilling holes, deep holes on an ongoing basis. It's not as though we're going to stop at four anymore. I think we're looking at a more robust program, and we're also looking at these new targets. We've done, like I said, the bleg work that just wrapped up the place. You know, it's like, wow, you probably can't swing a drill without hitting something in some of the drainages. And then the other thing is we've done some geophysics, which we haven't gotten together yet, but we'll have it together very shortly, and that'll show, you know, there's a lot of structural evidence that the system's very prolific at depth. So we got a heck of a lot of targets to test. You know, this is one of those things I see, you know, a very hot story, very, very good story to tell in an uptick in gold market. High grade. I mean, good grief. How many major companies, have high-grade deposits like this in Hawaii? It's very hard to find these things. You know, every single major mining company has an alkaline gold system, Jay. Okay, Newmont has Cripple Creek. Newcrest has, you know, Lihir. Barrick has Porgera, you know. But these things, they're scarce. And when you find one, they tend to be high-grade, tend to be prolific, and they are very, very highly sought after.
Yeah, and so here you have a company with 155 million market cap U.S. money that has this. And let me ask you, Quentin, I presume then what you saw in that first drill hole that's been reported underneath the old the existing deposit, you saw what you liked and what you saw there points in the right direction?
Yeah, I see that we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to hit this hard. Okay, yeah. What I saw in the lowest intercept, this is the one that was a little over 4 meters of a little over an ounce per ton. Mm-hmm. The style of mineralization was different than what you see up higher. It showed a lot of brecciation, which is basically broken rock, okay, that's been healed by, hydrothermal fluids that have brought up other minerals and kind of cemented everything together, including gold, okay. What I see, though, is that is strong evidence of an overpressurization event below that level. And what that means is that the volcano, basically the magma down at depth, released an upwelling fluid that had a lot of gold in it. And I think from that point below, we're going to see some very high grades and hopefully very good continuity. The thing's kind of forming a trunk, so to speak. And that's what I saw at Fosterville when I first went there. Is, the stockwork and the intensity of things was really picking up. And, I'm hoping it's a completely different system, but, it's similar, formational process. So I think this thing's going to pick up with depth.
All right. Hamish, before we conclude this, I would like to ask you, when might we start to see, or when might we see some more drill results coming out? The first one was released. When might we expect to see some more results?
Well, we've got results from the second hole pending, and those will be augmented shortly by the CSEMT results. That's the geophysics. So that's likely to illustrate where we'd like to drill next in the caldera to the north of Tuvatu. But certainly we're awaiting results from the second drill hole in Clinton's program, depth below the existing resource at Tuvatu. So that's exciting.
Let me catch you up. Look, we're still drilling that second hole. Okay, it's at about 600 meters.
Okay.
They're on holiday break, and there was a bit of a cyclone last week. I believe they've started drilling again. Okay, they'll finish that hole. What Hamish is saying is that we've already, started to assay some of the upper part of it. So we'll probably have some news on that. But, this is going to be a developing story. We're looking at beefing up the drill program, maybe additional rigs in 2 to 3 months, things like that.
All right. So within the next month or so, we might see some results. Is that likely?
Touch wood, yes.
Okay. All right. Yep. Very good. Well, we'll have to leave it go at that. Thank you, both of you, for helping our listeners understand this very exciting story. I hope we can have you back again when you have some more news to talk about. So thanks so much for being with us.